Good morning, Redeemer. You know, when you're getting to know somebody, maybe you're in a dating relationship or you are making a close friendship or maybe just even starting an acquaintance, a thing you'll typically ask early on is, what kind of music do you like? Who are your favorite singer-songwriters? And so to ask David that question is kind of a lot like asking that to Paul McCartney or Taylor Swift. Who are your favorites? I am, you know, my stuff. David wrote 75 or so, 73 to 75, it's debated a bit, almost half of what's in our Psalter, our songbook in the Bible. And so I'm sure he liked his stuff pretty good. You know, my favorite McCartney is Eleanor Rigby that he wrote while with the Beatles. I'm haunted by those words of Father McKenzie that he wrote words of a sermon that no one will hear. So please don't make that come to reality today. My favorite Taylor Swift is We Are Never Getting Back Together, okay, from the Red album. See, you can't believe I listened to that, but I did. It's when I had lots of girls in my house. My favorite David is Psalm 23, for sure, and it's a lot of people's favorites. And it's a place where we're starting this journey of getting to know David, of experiencing his life, but more so his God, and the God who is God to us. This is the best known of David's songs. It's a song about God being David's shepherd and our shepherd. Let's hear Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Oh God, our shepherd, we praise you. We delight in you as the people of your pasture and the sheep of your hand. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, is the door by which we enter in and become part of your sheepfold. He's the one who calls us by name, and we come. We go out through him to feed in green pastures and find rest and refreshment by still waters. He's the one who lays down his life for the sheep, not like hired hands, but he gives his life up for us. We praise you, God the Son. Thank you, Father, that your Spirit guides us into paths of righteousness for your name's sake, and that he is with us all through our journeys, even in the valley of dark shadow, shepherding us all the way home to be with you in your house forever. We praise you, God the Spirit. And so, Father, Son, and Spirit, we boast in you, O God. You are our shepherd. There is no God like you, no shepherd like our good shepherd. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we begin this journey together that will take us through the summer on the life of David. And it's quite interesting is there's really no life story in Scripture quite like David's. We have all this collection of his music, yes, but we have two separate sections, 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 Chronicles that are given over to telling the story of the life of David. There's no other life story in Scripture that gets the level of detail in terms of the adventures, the ups and downs of this life story, or even that opens up sort of the interior view to what's going on in the heart and the mind and the soul of someone. You know, Abraham and Moses and Elijah, all those other heroes of the Old Testament, we learn about them, but nothing in terms of the depth and breadth that we get with David. You don't get that with Peter or with Paul in the New Testament. There's a sense in which the whole Bible is all about Jesus, is about God's coming to be with us, the living Word of God, giving his life for the sins of the world and rising again to make us God's own people. In a sense, everything's about Jesus. But you don't even get the depth of sort of the interior of a life with Jesus the way that you do with David. And so this is profound. And what's profound about it is particularly where we'll locate in the Samuel scrolls in 1st and 2nd Samuel is that Samuel takes an approach of telling you the real story of David. You know, 1st Chronicles is sort of a royal record that's written later, and it sort of airbrushes everything out that's bad about David. You don't get the Bathsheba story. You don't get a lot of David's failures or sins or brokennesses. But Samuel tells you the whole thing, you know. It's kind of like Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of England, who, you know, sort of led England in that period between, that interregnum period between the kingships when there was civil war in England. And he said to his court painter, he said, I want you to paint me, and I want you to paint me as I really am. The warts, the blemishes, the rough places. Paint me as I truly am. And that's how Samuel, the writer of the books of Samuel, paints David. Warts and all. Lots of faith, hope, and love. Lots of brokenness. Lots of sin. Lots of failure. Lots of falling down, and at times falling very badly. But what you get with David, more than anything else, is David's God. His hope in the God of mercy. It's in his songs, it's in the Samuel stories, it's everywhere, is that David is a man after God's own heart. Why? Not because he's perfect in obedience or because he's a great warrior king. No. It's because he's leaning into God's mercies over and over again. What does King Saul do, the first king of Israel, when he's caught in a major space of sin in not following the orders of God through Samuel the prophet to go and destroy a people who were trying to destroy Israel? And when Saul fails at that, what does Samuel find Saul doing? Going and making a monument to himself down in Carmel to his own honor. But what do you find David doing when Nathan comes and confronts him and says, you're the man. You're the one who has sinned with Bathsheba and her husband and a whole group of people in battle. You're the man. David writes Psalm 51. David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He's looking for God's mercy. And so really to learn David's story this summer is a chance to learn God in a fresh way. And that's our hope together. And it really starts, right, with David's song, our often favorite song about David. And would David write his songs, his music, always sort of double as prayers? They're not just songs he's writing for song's sake. Maybe he did some of that. But what's inspired by the Holy Spirit and kept in Scripture for us, they almost all of them, right, really sort of all of them are double as prayers. Songs that are prayers, like Jacob played for us in our confession of sin period today. I love what Anne Lamott says about prayer, that there are really three kinds of prayer, really. Help, thank you, and wow. Right? And Psalm 23 has that tenor, yes, of help in it and the help we need from our good shepherd. It has a tone of thanks throughout it of all that the good shepherd is. But more than anything, it's a wow prayer. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd. What kind of shepherd do I have? Wow, God. You are this kind of shepherd. It's a boasting in who God is as David's shepherd. And we get to join in with him in that. Let us together boast in the goodness of our shepherd God today. I want you to think about that with me in three ways, okay? How we can boast in God as our shepherd. First of all, we boast in God as our shepherd as we celebrate his care for us, as we realize we will not be in want with him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Where does it all start for David? Right there, that God, our shepherd, is going to make sure that we are never in want with him. Think about the great teachers in your life that really believed in you and helped you turn corners in your growth as a student. And you look back on them, or the coaches that really cared about you and invested in you as a person or as a player. I love how Bill Walton and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, two of the greatest basketball players ever, and certainly two of the best college basketball players ever, when they talk about Coach John Wooden, and they just celebrate how he cared for them, how he developed them as people and players. Maybe you've had a team leader in the workplace that's like that. Maybe an elder or a pastor in this church has been for you like that. But ultimately, David is saying, God is one who has developed me, believed in me, called me and chose me and brought me from sheepfolds to being the shepherd king of Israel. Yes. But ultimately, I'm still just a sheep. And Psalm 23 is written from the voice of a sheep. And sheep typically are not developed into great leaders. Sheep are typically not developed into great winners of battles, or they're fearful and anxious. They have to be protected from all kinds of predators. They don't know where to go. They can get lost all the time. And sometimes when they get lost, they get turned over, as they say, cast down on their backs. And those are like the old cartoons, like where the sheep had their feet up in the air like this. It's really not funny, because when sheep get cast down, they can't get back up. And they have to have somebody actually come, a shepherd, come and turn them back over and help them walk again. What David is saying is, yes, I've become king of Israel from the sheepfolds, but I'm still just a sheep, needy and anxious and fearful. I've got to have food and nourishment provided for me. I've got to know where to go. I've got to be kept from walking off the edge of a ravine. I need the care of God, my shepherd. What shepherds are, more than anything else, are caregivers. And how does David describe the caregiving of God so that we're never in want? He leads us into green pastures. He's going to take us where we can really be fed and nurtured in our souls. He's going to make us lie down beside quiet waters. We might want rushing streams or rivers or oceans, but he's going to take us to places where we can be still and know that he is God, where we can drink of his spirit in places of quiet waters. He's going to restore our souls. You know, I just was thinking about this in the last couple of days. What are we all really yearning for in life? One whole perspective on all of life as a human being, especially as a Christian. God, I need restoration. I'm like a house that has all kinds of brokenness. There's a glory about it. You know, C.S. Lewis said, being made in God's image as a human being has a lot of glory to it. But we're like these broken down old houses that once were glorious and made to be glorious and need the care and love of God to mend us and restore us. And the shepherd's going to restore our souls and renew us. And in that restoration, guide us where we need to go, the right paths, the righteous paths that we need to walk down. And on David goes. Now, what Jesus does when he comes and he calls himself as the good shepherd, I'm God the shepherd, talked about through all the prophets and even written about in Israel's wanderings of old, and David singing about this here. I'm that shepherd come to be with you. I'm the good shepherd come to care for you. And you see him healing people, teaching people, feeding people, and saying, I'm going to bring you into a place of blessing. What we can boast in alongside David is God is always going to perfectly care for us. Because no matter where we find ourselves on the path, we'll get to this in a moment, even in the darkest places, even in the places that just look and smell like death, God is there with us. The Good Shepherd Jesus is there with us to bless us, to care for us, to give us himself. What do we celebrate at this table? Jesus giving us himself. The fourth Sunday of Easter, remember, we're still in that season of Easter. That's why we greeted each other still with an Easter greeting. You're going to get that for a few more weeks, right? Fourth Sunday of Easter traditionally in the church calendar is Good Shepherd Sunday. It's when we remember. That's why we're starting this series here and in this way, because it's a day set aside to remember that the risen Christ, when he keeps coming to his people on the backside of Easter, comes to shepherd them, comes to care for them. Mary in her sadness, Thomas in his doubts, the 11 in the upper room on Easter night in their fears behind locked doors, right, for fear of the Jews. The folks who go out fishing a couple of weeks later, just drifting out at sea because they don't know what to do with their lives. Peter, as he has shame and guilt and needs restoration from God through Christ to take away that guilt and shame. Jesus, in risen love, is going to care for you right where you are. You know, we're studying in the men's ministry a book by Tim Keller on Jonah. It's been a wonderful study. It's taken us. Still got a couple weeks left. We'd love to have you Tuesday nights or Wednesday mornings. Shameless plug right there. But in that book that we're studying by Tim Keller called Prodigal Prophet, he talks about what Jonah's real problems was, more than anything with God, is that he assassinated God's character. He did not believe that God had his best interest at heart, or Israel's best interest at heart. And so he constantly, internally and externally, assassinated the character of God. We all do that too, don't we? We all have spaces where we say it out loud, or we're quietly just gnawing on it and chewing on it and dying over it. God doesn't really love me. God's not really out for my good. He's not really here. And singing this song, boasting, remembering all that God does for us in Christ to care for us, helps you put away assassinating God's character and celebrating it instead. Last thought here before we move to the next point. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German Christian who went back into Nazi Germany to try to serve in Jesus' name when he was free in America, he goes back in to serve and run sort of an underground seminary and underground church movement there. He said, he wrote this book during that time, Life Together, about what real fellowship is. And he says this: the essence of real Christian fellowship is this, that we help one another believe the gospel when we are too weak to do so by ourselves. When you are celebrating God's goodness and provision and care for you in the ways you are experiencing it and seeing it, when you do that, I may be too weak to do that myself in that moment. And you are helping me greatly to remember, oh yeah, that is who our God is. And so our worship is not just honoring praise to God here, but it's helping one another remember the good care of our shepherd. When we talk with each other, when we walk by the way with each other, families or friends or coworkers who are Christians, we can help each other remember who God is as a shepherd caregiver. Let's boast in that. Secondly, we boast in the Lord as our shepherd, right? By not just remembering his good care for us, but his presence with us in the face of evil. Even in death, we have the privilege to fear no evil. How does this psalm turn right there in the middle? You're taking me by green pastures and quiet waters. You're restoring my soul. You're teaching me to walk in paths of righteousness for your namesake. And then there's a pivot, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David's borrowing language from is used to describe Israel's journey of old as a journey through shadow, difficulty, wilderness, the threat of death. David experienced a lot of that himself, right? He had Saul trying to kill him repeatedly in small ways, chucking spears at him at a dining room table, or in massive ways, bringing whole armies after him, when all David did was seek to serve him and be under him and follow him. His son Absalom is going to try to take his throne away later, try to destroy him, to run a coup and run David out. All kinds of spaces David found himself in the shadows of death. So when did he write this? When he was younger, when he was still a shepherd boy himself, when he first becomes king, later in life, around the time of Absalom, later in life when he's dealing with great sins and struggles. When did he write this? We don't know. But what we do know is that he and Israel sang it all along the way. And we can too. Where are you facing those kind of dark shadows? Hard medical reports for you or a loved one. Job situations that feel dead end or worse, like the door is shut in your face, or you've just been put out on the street, or you think that's coming any day. Family situations that feel so broken, you don't know how they could be mended again. And on we could go. Your shepherd is with you there. You don't have to fear the evils of death, because our shepherd, as we look forward from David to Jesus, not only is with us there, actually passes through death for us to assure us that even when we face death itself, God is with us there. Jesus is the only one who has used death to conquer death, and we can trust him even on death's doorstep itself. Now let's apply that a little bit. Why do we read or sing Psalm 23 so often at memorial services and funeral services, at gravesides? Because it's saying to us, God is there. God is with the loved one who has died by faith all the way through this valley. God is with us as we're in the shadows of death right now. Some of you have lost loved ones recently, or within this last year or this last season. The shepherd wants to comfort you in hope. Some of you may be newly afraid of the death of pending for a loved one or for yourself. The shepherd is with you. He will not abandon you there. In fact, he will triumph there. What does David say comforts him in this space? The rod and staff of the shepherd. The rod, the stick, the cudgel that a shepherd would have would beat back, as David talks about, mountain lions and bears and other predators, right? That would come, wolves that would come after the sheep. And a staff, the crook, that would pull sheep back and guide them and keep them from going off the trail, right? In Jesus, it's rod and staff together in the cross. It's crook and cudgel all in one that says to us, trust me there. I'm with you there. I'm with your loved ones who've gone before you. I'm with you, and I have defeated death by my death. I have beaten back the ultimate enemy. And I will pull you in and keep you close, even in this space. Just one other application here I think is important. All of us battle addictions in various ways. Some of us more than others. But we've all got addictive traits and patterns in our lives. And what are we learning about addictions? What's good learning that's taking place in the church, beyond the church? That there is a nexus so often underneath our addictions of deep fears and anxieties around something catastrophic that is happening to us now, or maybe there's a near future that will be catastrophic. And so that feeds fear and anxiety and depression and the nexus of all of that. And so we don't know what to do except for to go back to our addictive patterns with food or with substances or with drink, or with work patterns, or things we look at, or things that we fantasize about, or whatever it is. The love of the shepherd here in the face of death means you don't have to fear a catastrophic future or present. It won't be, ultimately. Even if it's in the dark shadows of death, your good shepherd is there with you and will lead you through. So you can face these things now and step into them with hope in your shepherd's love and care. We boast in him because with him we shall not want. We boast in him because we do not have to fear evil, even the evil of death. And we boast in him because he will take us all the way home. Psalm 23 is ultimately like a going home song, like good country music often is, right? A going home song, getting home again. It's kind of like the Hobbit, a there back again journey, or the Odyssey even, right? Of getting all the way back home, or even the Wizard of Oz, like Dorothy finding her way right back home again. Psalm 23 is like that, but it has a twist. Because what Psalm 23 is about is not so much our finding our way back home as home coming to us. The shepherd brings the mercy, the food and the drink, the anointing, blessing, the goodness and mercy from home to us now all along the way so that he can lead us all the way back to our ultimate home. In the house of the Lord forever. Jesus comes to feed us, and he does at this table every Sunday. Israel had to wait for special festivals to remember that. We have the festival every week. Anointing of sheep was to keep them from having pests and bugs taking over their lives. The anointing of God's Spirit in word and prayer and sacraments and fellowship keeps us alive and full of hope and keeps the pest and the noise and a lot of the diseases of lack of belief and faith away. But goodness and mercy from God, the loving kindness of God, the chesed of God, chase us down. The language here is not so much of just sort of, they sort of tag along behind us. It's of chasing us down. It's overtaking us while we're journeying with our shepherd. God, today, for you, wants to overtake you with his love. In hearing the foolish words of an old preacher, he wants to overtake you with his love. May you receive that. May you find that in Christ for the first time or in a deeper and fuller way today. And may we, like David, find that life in that blessing until we get all the way home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. We're excited to look at David's life. Because it's warts and all, and it reminds us of the depth and breadth and the height and width of your love toward us, your mercy, overtaking us ultimately in Christ, Father. Jesus, I pray that in studying David, we would, in hearing his music even today, singing a lot of his music together, we would, O Lord, wondrously, beautifully, find you there, our good shepherd, caring for us, protecting us even in the face of death, and taking us all the way home. Hear us, O Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.